Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, June 29th, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, we are in the first paragraph, verses 1 through 6, where the Apostle John is giving a mandate to his congregation and to churches all throughout Anatolia to make sure that you discern between the spirits. And the word is actually pneuma, or spirit. And he's commanding them to discern between sound doctrinal Bible teachers and false teachers. And this all came about, this 1 John 4 is actually a polemic against Corinthian Gnosticism. Gnosticism was the great false attack, false doctrine in the time of John. It comes from a word in the Bible, gnosis. G-N-long-O-S-I-S. And gnosis means knowledge. And the Gnostics were very, very impressed with knowledge. Very impressed with their high IQ. Many of them had a very high IQ. And they always emphasized knowledge, 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 knowledge. Not Bible doctrine, but knowledge. And one of the... this fellow was a believer in Jesus Christ. Cerinthus. And he was a Gnostic. And he was in John's congregation. And he led many, many believers in Jesus Christ into the cosmic system. And it got so bad that the Apostle John, under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, wrote this paragraph, 1 John 4:1-6. The thing is, the same thing is happening right now in America. We have Gnostics in America today. They don't call themselves Gnostics. But these are people that are very impressed with knowledge. And they take their knowledge, and then they take vocabulary from the Bible, and then they mix the two. And in the process, they reject the absolute truth of the Word of God. And so, this is something we still have going on right now in America. In pulpits of America, in politics in America, this is the same thing. We have the same problem of false teachers. So the 1 John 4:1-6, a command, discern between sound doctrinal communicators of the Word of God. Don't anybody pay any attention to Cliff and Darlene coming in late. Oh. Well, did you win at the slot machine? No. Okay. So a mandate to discern sound doctrinal communicators from false teachers. 1 John 4:1 starts out, beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every, but the word there is unique. It's the word pneuma. And pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. P-N-E-U-M-A. Now, this is very unusual. Now, pneuma is used in a lot of different ways. But here, pneuma, the word spirit, is used of people. People who are being influenced by a spirit. Pneuma can sometimes mean blowing and wind and breathing and breath. Sometimes it's used for God the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's used for the human spirit. Sometimes it's used for spirit beings like angels or evil spirits like demons. But Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 684, says that also pneuma may be used of people. Here is the word spirit, and it's used of people, but people who are being influenced by a spirit. False teachers being influenced by demons. Sound doctrinal teachers being influenced by God the Holy Spirit. So this is how pneuma is used in this paragraph, 1 John 4:1-6. These are human beings. Human beings who are being influenced by a spirit. Now, false teachers are being influenced by evil spirits, demons. Sound doctrinal teachers are being influenced by God the Holy Spirit. And so, you need to distinguish. You must distinguish between the two, especially in the times in which we are living today in America. So 1 John 4:1 through as far as we've gone in verse 3, halfway through. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every pneuma, influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the spirits. Analyze the communicators of God's Word. Analyze these influential speakers. whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, false teachers have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. Verse 2. This is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now that's a very powerful statement at the time that John is writing this, because the Gnostics did not believe that God and flesh, a human body, can go together. Because in their thinking, the flesh, the human body, is evil. Material is evil. And therefore, God would never be combined with evil. So they rejected the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. They rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They did not believe that Jesus Christ was the creator of the universe. They didn't even believe Jesus Christ was God. They didn't think, they denied the deity of Christ. They just saw Jesus Christ as a man. That's all. So this is how the Spirit of God is recognized. He is influencing every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is from God. Verse 3. But, now, contrast. But every pneuma, every persuasive speaker, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, Orthodox Christology, Orthodox Soteriology, he absolutely is not from God, not from the living and true God. In verse 3 begins with the adversative use of the conjunction chi. And it's correctly translated, but the adversative chi sets up a contrast. A contrast between sound doctrinal communicators with false teachers. A contrast between the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of Antichrist. A contrast between sound teaching, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, with false teaching that does not acknowledge Jesus, Orthodox teaching, Orthodox Christology, the person of Christ, Orthodox soteriology, the work of Christ on the cross. And then the adjective pos means every, modifying the noun pneuma, spirit. And the word spirit here is every false teacher, every human being. Every false teacher, but he's being influenced by a demon. Then the relative pronoun host, who, referring to the false teachers. And then a word that we know about, and that is the verb homologeo. Homologeo, we know from 1 John 1:9, as the means of the rebound technique. It's a rebound verb. It means to confess, to admit, to acknowledge. When you acknowledge your sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And it is used that way. But here, homologeo is also a teaching verb. Arnton Gingrich, page 571. And it means to declare publicly, to teach, to acknowledge. But with the negative may, these false teachers, these persuasive communicators, do not acknowledge, they do not teach Orthodox Christology, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not teach Orthodox soteriology, the work of Christ on the cross. And the present tense of homologeo is a nomic present, presenting an axiom of Scripture, and the axiom is this. False teachers do not acknowledge and do not teach the orthodox doctrines of Christology and soteriology. The active voice, false teachers perform the action of the verb, the indicative mood, the reality of false teachers in John's day who reject the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, who reject the hypostatic union that Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, who deny the impeccability of Jesus Christ, who deny the salvation work of Christ on the cross as the basis of salvation. So what do these false teachers not acknowledge and teach? Ton Yesun, the Jesus. These false teachers do not acknowledge and teach the Jesus. That is, the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures. And in John's day, these false teachers were called Gnostics. They taught the false doctrines of Gnosticism. They rejected and distorted the incarnation and virgin birth. They rejected and distorted the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. They rejected and distorted the impeccability of Christ. They rejected and distorted the salvation work of Christ on the cross and the Christology, the unique person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But every persuasive speaker, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, is not from God. And here we have the verb eimi plus the objective negative uk, and that slams the door. These persuasive teachers absolutely are not from God. Ek plus the genitive singular of theos, from the God, from the living and true God. But every persuasive speaker, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus, the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, absolutely is not from God. He is not from the living and true God. So once again, in the Apostle John's day, these Gnostics, they were eloquent communicators, persuasive teachers. And these false teachers were called Gnostics. Their false doctrine was called Gnosticism. They called themselves Christians many times, and they borrowed heavily from Christian vocabulary. What they taught, however, was false doctrine that was used by Satan to get believers trapped in his cosmic system and out of the spiritual life. They had a dominating concern for knowledge, gnosis, but not the knowledge of the Word of God, not the knowledge of the God-breathed scriptures. They were very imposed with their human IQ. So a couple of things about the Gnostics. One, first of all, they taught Persian dualism. Persian dualism. And that is that there's a struggle or a war going on between good and evil. So they talked about that, Persian dualism. A struggle, a war between good and evil. Some demanded intellectual knowledge. They demanded that you learn their intellectual knowledge, their gnosis, to get as much gnosis as possible, while others were caught up in mumbo-jumbo astrology and things like that. Some were high-minded ascetics, and others were licentious charlatans. But they taught a struggle between good and evil, Persian dualism. Two, nevertheless, they all offered gnosis. They all offered knowledge. Their super knowledge. They all offered gnosis. Three. They taught about power and secrets of the future. They were involved in astrology, involved in fortune tellers and fortune telling. But they would put in a religious setting, and they would often use Christian vocabulary. So they taught about power and secrets of the future, including astrology and fortune tellers, but they put it in a religious setting and with Christian vocabulary. Four. The Gnostic teachers sought to combine Christianity with the basic assumptions about God. The Gnostic teachers sought to combine Christianity with the basic assumptions about God and the world held by most of the people of their day. So the Gnostic teachers sought to combine Christianity with the basic assumptions about God and the world held by most of the people of their day. Five. These assumptions were formed by contemporary philosophy, mythology, and astrology. These assumptions were formed by contemporary philosophy, mythology, and astrology. Six. They totally rejected the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They totally rejected the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and the virgin birth of Christ. The claim that God became man was totally impossible to the Gnostics, since God and matter could not coexist, could not mix. So they totally rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ, because the claim that God became man was impossible to the Gnostics. They believed that God and matter could not coexist, could not mix. Seven. Gnosticism is rationalism and seeks to answer questions outside of the Bible. Totally non-biblical assumptions. It is rationalism and seeks to answer questions outside of the Bible. Totally non-biblical assumptions. 8. Gnosticism was mystical. Mystical. 9. Gnosticism was mythological. And they employed a system of mythology to express truth as a substitute for Bible doctrine. It was mythological, employing a system of mythology to express truth as a substitute for the Word of God, Bible doctrine. 10. Gnosticism totally denied the deity of Jesus Christ. Totally denied the deity of Jesus Christ. 11. In their thinking, the thinking of the Gnostics, evil is associated with matter and ignorance. And the fact that you don't have gnosis and associated and distortion. So evil is associated with matter, with ignorance, no gnosis, and distortion. And therefore, salvation in their thinking was to slough off defilement, matter. Salvation was not forgiveness of sins by faith in Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross. So evil in their thinking was associated with matter, ignorance, distortion, and therefore salvation was in their thinking to slough off defilement, but it was not forgiveness of sin through faith in Christ and his salvation work on the cross. 12. Salvation for the Gnostics was illumination, knowledge, dispelling ignorance, and triumphing over the material. Salvation for the Gnostics was illumination, gnosis, knowledge, dispelling ignorance, and triumphing over the material. And therefore, their false gospel was to get knowledge, illumination, and to get all of their false doctrine. Now, one of these false teachers of Gnosticism was in the Apostle John's congregation, and his name was Cerinthus. And in our passage, 1 John 4:1-6, Gnosticism, 1 John 4:1-6 is presenting a polemic against Cerinthian Gnosticism. Cerinthus was influencing many believers in John's congregation and throughout Asia Minor, spreading his false teaching about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught that the world was not created by the Lord Jesus Christ, but by a power far separated from him. He taught that Jesus was the natural son of Joseph and Mary, that he was not the Son of God, that he was not deity, who took on true humanity at the incarnation and virgin birth. He taught that Jesus Christ was only humanity, and that's all. He was not undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. So this was Cerinthian Gnosticism, and many, many believers in John's church were listening to him and wound up in Satan's cosmic system. So verse 3 says, but every persuasive speaker, every pneuma, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, absolutely is not from God, not from the living and true God. And then John goes on in verse 3, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Here we have the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtas plus the present active indicative of ame with the definite article ta plus the genitive singular of antichristos with the definite article. Start out with the conjunction chi, K-A-I, chi. And chi is an emphatic chi, and the emphatic chi may be correctly translated indeed, verily, really, in fact, certainly, and we will translate it indeed. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun houtas. In the neuter. H-O-U-T-O-S, that's the demonstrative pronoun. It's in the neuter, and in the neuter it looks like this. Tuta. Actually, it looks just like that in the Greek and in the English. Tuta. And the demonstrative pronoun hutas in neuter means this, and this refers to this false teaching. This false teaching, and then we have to be verb ami. E-I-M-I, ami. And this is the present tense. The present tense says linear action, Sartre. You translate it, keeps on being. This false teaching keeps on being. And then the neuter of the article, ta. And when you have the neuter of the article, ta, is referring to pneuma as the neuter noun. Ta refers to the spirit, the false teaching. And then we have the genitive singular of antichristos, which looks like this in the Greek. A-N-T-I-C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Actually a compound word, and literally anti means against, and Christos, Christ. So antichristos literally is the word that means against Christ. And the genitive singular of antichristos with the definite article is of the Antichrist. So the corrected translation, indeed this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, the persuasive influence and false teaching of the Antichrist, of which ye have heard that it shall come. That's the King James. This is the nominative singular neuter of the relative pronoun host, plus the perfect active indicative of akuo, plus the conjunction hot t with the present active indicative of erkomai. The relative pronoun host looks like this, H-O-S. And host refers back to its antecedent. The antecedent is antichristos, the Antichrist. About whom, correct? You translate this, about whom, the Antichrist. And then we have the verb akuo. A-K-O-U long O, akuo. And akuo is the verb to hear. And perfect tense, you have heard. In other words, the Apostle John has taught his congregation again and again and again and again. He's taught the God-breathed scriptures. He's taught sound eschatological doctrine. He's taught dispensations. He's taught about the church age. He's taught about the tribulation. He's taught about the Antichrist who will come in the tribulation. And he's taught these things to them again and again and again. That's what we have here. So you have heard. John's congregation has received sound eschatological doctrinal teaching about the Antichrist. Perfect tense, intensive perfect. You have heard it in the past with the result that you know this now in the present. The active voice, the believers in John's congregation have heard eschatological teaching concerning the Antichrist over and over and over. Repetition, repetition, repetition. The indicative mood is declarative, the reality and the certainty of their knowing eschatological doctrine about the Antichrist and the tribulation. And then, hati, H-O-T-I, and of course, many times it is a causal conjunction, but not after verbs of decendi. And that's what we have. After verbs of decendi, hati introduces an object clause, and it's correctly translated that. And then the verb erkomai. Erkomai. E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Erchomai. Erchomai is the verb to come. Present tense is the futuristic present. Futuristic present has the force of the future with an air of immediacy and certainty. In other words, he, the Antichrist, is coming. So this is the futuristic present with an air of immediacy and certainty. He, the Antichrist, is coming. Active voice, the Antichrist performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. The absolute certainty of the coming of the Antichrist. So verse 3 now sounds like this. But every persuasive speaker, pneuma, every false teacher, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom you have heard over and over and over again that he is coming. All right. One. These persuasive speakers, these pneuma, these false teachers, do not acknowledge and teach Orthodox Christology and soteriology. These persuasive speakers, these false teachers, do not acknowledge and teach Orthodox Christology and soteriology. They reject and distort the incarnation and virgin birth. They reject and distort the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. They reject and distort the impeccability of Christ. They reject and distort the salvation work of Christ on the cross. Two, they absolutely are not from God, and therefore they are totally divorced from the grace and power of God. They absolutely are not from God, and therefore they are totally divorced from the grace and the power of God. Three, the rejection and distortion of Orthodox Christology and soteriology is the spirit of the Antichrist. The rejection and distortion of Orthodox Christology and soteriology is the spirit of the Antichrist. Four, therefore the Antichrist is the ultimate manifestation of false teaching. The Antichrist is the ultimate manifestation of false teaching. Five, the many false teachers of today are his precursors. The many false teachers today are his precursors. Six, John's congregation has already been taught about the end times, dispensations, the church age, the tribulation, the second advent, the millennium. His congregation has already been taught about the end times, and they know all about the Antichrist, and they know that he is coming. So John's congregation has already been taught about the end times, and they know all about the Antichrist, and they know that he is coming. 7. So, John is contrasting the Spirit of God influencing sound doctrinal Bible teachers in verse 2. This is how the Spirit of God is recognized. The Spirit of God influences sound doctrinal Bible teachers. This is how the Spirit of God is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So he's contrasting the Spirit of God influencing sound doctrinal Bible teachers with the spirit of the Antichrist in verse 3. But every persuasive speaker, false teacher, being influenced by demons, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, absolutely is not from God, the living and true God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom you have heard that he is coming. And, well, we haven't exegeted all this, but I'll give it to you anyway. That he is coming. And now, in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers are already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now as we speak. So John is contrasting the Spirit of God, verse 2, with the spirit of the Antichrist, verse 3. All right. The doctrine of the Antichrist. The doctrine of the Antichrist. Point one, Antichristos literally means against Christ. And therefore, an Antichrist is someone who is against the Lord Jesus Christ. So Antichristos literally means against Christ, and therefore an Antichrist is someone who is against the Lord Jesus Christ. 2. Point 2 is Antichrist in the church age. We're living in the church age. There are Antichrists in the church age. So point 2 is Antichrist in the church age. Point 3 will be the Antichrist in the tribulation. But point 2, Antichrist in the church age. Subpoint 1, in the church age, Antichrist refers to any believer who lives and functions in Satan's cosmic system. In the church age, we are living in the church age, Antichrist refers to any believer who lives and functions in Satan's cosmic system. Subpoint 2, therefore, Antichrist is synonymous with several terms. It's synonymous with the enemy of the cross. It's synonymous with the enemy of the cross. Philippians 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And these are believers. Believers who have made themselves Antichrist. They are against Christ. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And it broke the Apostle Paul's heart because he knew many of these believers. He gave the gospel to them. They believed in Christ. He taught them Bible doctrine. He saw them grow up in Bible doctrine and in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then he saw them react to something and peel off, and it broke his heart. And they made themselves the enemies of the cross of Christ, Antichrist. Antichrist is also synonymous with the enemy of God. The enemy of God in James 4:4. James 4:4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world, the cosmic system, is hatred toward God? That's Antichrist. That's against the Lord Jesus Christ. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the cosmic system, the world, is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world, the cosmic system, becomes an enemy of God. In other words, Antichrist against the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, Antichrist is synonymous with being a hater of God. A hater of God. John 15. John 15, verse 23. The one who hates me, Jesus Christ, hates my Father, God the Father as well. When you hate Christ, you're against Christ. You are Antichrist. The one who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what was written in their law: they hated me without reason. Antichrist. They hate Jesus Christ. They are Antichrist. These believers are called Antichrist and we studied in 1 John 2:18. Children, students, it is the last hour. The last hour goes all the way from the first advent to the second advent. A unique period of time. And just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming in the tribulation, even now in the church age, many Antichrists, believers living in the cosmic system, exist. And from this fact, we have come to know that it is the last hour. 1 John 2:18. And then again in 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah? This one is Antichrist against the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who denies and repudiates the Father and the Son. And then our verse, 1 John 4:3, and then over in 2 John, we'll be getting to, after I finish 1 John, we have 2 John, and then 3 John, and then 4th, 5th, and 6th John. Second John, verse, only one chapter, verse 7. 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Again, this is Gnosticism in John's day. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. 2 John verse 7. Point 3, the Antichrist in the tribulation. The Antichrist in the tribulation. So the Antichrist in the church age is any believer living in the cosmic system. Now the Antichrist in the tribulation. Subpoint 1, the Antichrist in the tribulation is one person, an unbeliever living in the cosmic system, an unbeliever operating under interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. But just one individual. Subpoint 2. He sells himself out to the devil more than any other person in human history. He sells himself out to the devil more than any other person in human history. Three, the Antichrist is one of two great dictators who emerge in the tribulation. The Antichrist and the false prophet. So the Antichrist is one of two great dictators who emerge in the tribulation. The Antichrist and the false prophet. Subpoint 4. He is the Gentile ruler of the revived Roman Empire. And this, we haven't taught Daniel. Daniel may be, that's one of the options when we finish Joel, is to teach Daniel in our Hebrew class. But in Daniel chapter 2, the king in Babylon had a dream. None of his soothsayers could figure out what the dream meant. But Daniel was there, and God showed Daniel what it meant. And he saw this great big image, this idol. And it had a head of gold, and then a silver chest, and then bronze legs, and then iron feet, and then toes of feet of iron and clay. And they wanted to know, the king wanted to know what that meant. And Daniel said, well, the gold head refers to you as the king of Babylon, the nation Babylon. And then the silver, after you were done in history, the Medes and the Persians destroyed the Babylonians, and then you have the Medes and the Persians, the silver. And then Greece came in, and Greece destroyed the Medes and the Persians, and they're the next great world empire. And then the Romans came in, defeated the Greeks, and they were the iron. They're the fourth great empire. And then you have the feet with clay, and that is the revived Roman Empire. And that's where the Antichrist will rule as the leader of the revived Roman Empire. So the Antichrist is one of two great dictators who emerge in the tribulation, the Antichrist and the false prophet. 4, he is the Gentile ruler of the revived Roman Empire. 5, he has many titles. Many titles found in the Word of God. First of all, he is called the man of lawlessness and the son of destruction. the man of lawlessness and the son of destruction. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Second Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the departure comes first. And the departure includes not only apostasy, but the rapture comes first. And then after the rapture, then the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, and that is the Antichrist. The Antichrist will not come on the scene until after the departure, the apostasy, the rapture comes first, and then the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction. Secondly, he's called the beast from the sea. He's called the beast from the sea in Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, starting at verse 1. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. This is the Antichrist, another one of his titles. The beast coming up out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon, that's Satan, gave the beast, the Antichrist, his power and his throne and his great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast, the Antichrist. Men worshiped the dragon. They worshiped Satan because he had given power to the beast, the Antichrist. And they also worshiped the beast. And they asked, who is like the beast, the Antichrist? Who can make war against him? The beast, the Antichrist, was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise his authority for 42 months. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, known as the Great Tribulation. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority. The world gave him authority over every tribe, every people, every language, every nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, the Antichrist, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that was slain from the creation of the world. So he is called the beast from the sea, Revelation 13, 1 through 10. So he has many titles, the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, the beast from the sea, and we'll pick it up at this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.